right now, Neil, we've got a final. I'm sort of, you know, I don't want to be sound too sort of structured about this, but we've got a contract to play at the grand final of the MCG, and until that changes, that's where the grand final will be. And I don't want to sound naive or silly or whatever, but clearly then there is people making assessments about where things are at in Victoria, and if we're unable to play it here or that changes, then clearly we've got a lot of great alternatives. And Western Australia has, I think, made it clear that they're keen, and I think it's clear that Queensland are keen and our others. So we're lucky we've got great interest, but I just don't feel right now it's appropriate to be looking beyond that when we've got an existing agreement, as challenging as that might look in the current environment.
Gil McLachlan, boss of the AFL, talking about the grand final on 3RW earlier today. Interestingly enough, the AFL still with their fingers crossed that it can be at the MCG. Obviously, it's going to be tough, but that's what they've got their fingers crossed for, that they can fulfil that contract. Interestingly enough, the Herald Sun now running a pretty big story on their website about the hopes that we can still get 50,000 at the Melbourne Cup at Flemington. So a lot of people still planning for the best case scenario as it stands right now. And Gil would be one of them. And quite a few in Victoria hoping that things can get a lot better in the next 3 or 4 weeks. Mark Duffield from the West Australian, chief football writer, has been good enough to join us. They're lobbying pretty hard in Perth at the moment. And Mark's newspaper has been part of the lobbying process. Welcome to you, Mark. Great to have you on the program.
G'day, Dwayne. How are you going?
Good. Talking about horse racing and the Melbourne Cup, the whips are cracking in this race to get the grand final right now.
Yeah, I don't know whether they're cracking quite as much as people are letting on. I think the position of the West Australian government has always been that they would be happy to host the grand final, provided it's done under their conditions. So in other words, they don't have to change, you know, what their border controls are. They don't have to put money on the table, those sorts of things. So I think that at the moment you would expect, and we're all assuming that it can't be at the MCG because it's going to take a fair bit for the pandemic scenario to change quickly enough in the short time available for it to be at the MCG. I think we're all hoping that that does change, because I think that would mean a good thing for, you know, the population of Australia and the population of Victoria in particular. But I still think that the Queensland government is probably going to go a little bit further and work a little bit harder to get the game, whereas I think the WA government is going to say, well, you can come here, but you'll be coming here under our rules and our conditions, and if you're prepared to do that, then we'd be happy to have you.
Your newspaper is running a story, WA government lodges formal submission for Optus Stadium to host the AFL Grand Final in Perth. That is a story that you've been running for the last day, I think. So the formal lobbying for a hub as well is something that I'm interested in, because we might get to a situation where we have to hub the finals teams where they all stay there and wait.
Yeah, I think if the virus situation changes in Queensland, I suspect that WA will become very much a front runner. But I think the submission that was put in was basically the terms and conditions under which you could do it in Western Australia and how you might be able to do it if that's what you wanted to do. But in that story, there was also an indication from the Premier of Western Australia, and he certainly went on the record again yesterday as stressing that the AFL Grand Final is a long way down the list of priorities of the WA government. So he just said, and he reiterated basically his former position on it, which is that if they want to come here and they want to come here the way we want them to come here, under the conditions we are prepared to let them come here under, we would be happy to have them. But it is a long way down our list of priorities at this stage. So, as I said at the outset, I'm not sure that the whips are really cracking over here to get it here. I think it will depend largely on the border controls in Queensland and the virus situation in Queensland as to whether there is a Western Australia bobs out from the field at the clock tower, if you like, at Flemington, and manages to get its nose in front at the end of this race.
Do you think we finish on the ladder will have any guidance for us whatsoever? Or if the West Coast Eagles finish top, or the Brisbane Lions finish top, for example, do you think that will have anything to do with it, or absolutely nothing to do with it, because it's all going to be down to what the coronavirus numbers are and what the governments decide to do?
I think there are so many hoops the AFL has to get through in this. I think it will come down to where they think they can get this played easily and with the least chance of a serious hiccup that derails the whole thing. And so, no, I don't think that will come down to it. I certainly think the teams other than West Coast will be a lot happier to play Brisbane in Brisbane than West Coast in Perth. I mean, playing West Coast at Optus Stadium is a bit like trying to fight your way to Moscow in the middle of the Russian winter. You know, it's very hard to do and come out with a win. So I think that, you know, if there's any club lobbying goes on, I'm not sure that playing it at Optus Stadium will be a popular choice amongst other clubs. But certainly, I think that, look, I reckon one thing that I would say is in recent weeks, it's been fantastic to have games at Optus Stadium with crowds and have the atmosphere of real football back. And certainly the game for the West Coast Geelong, the crowd for the West Coast Geelong game last weekend was absolutely cranking, as it was for the Fremantle-Collingwood game the following day. So that's been a great reminder of how good it is to have footy in front of a loud crowd. But I don't think that's going to be anywhere near the top of the list of priorities for the AFL when they sit down to make this decision. I think the last thing they want is a year where they don't get a result in either of their women's or men's competitions. So they want to get to the end one way or the other.
Yeah, watch this space. It is going to be interesting to see what happens in Victoria in the next few weeks. So that's the thing we've got to get right first. Mark, always great to read your stuff. Got it up now. It's a few good stories on there that I've been perusing. So that's the reason we jumped on the line to have a chat to you, given that there was quite a few stories on your website about the grand final and the hub situation. Can't wait to talk to you again. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, good on you, Dwayne. I mean, of course, we're a parochial West Australian publication, so we're lobbying very hard. But I do think if you look at the way the government is playing this, and I think the other thing to say about this is that right now it feels like the people are with the Premier on this, that basically, you know, you can play football here, but don't do it in a way that compromises our community health in any way, shape or form. So I think that's where it sits at the moment.
Do you think there's any of this East versus West rivalry on whether Nick Natanui is a standout ruckman and should be the All-Australian ruckman right now or not?
Oh, geez, I don't know. There's three or four outstanding ruckmen, isn't there? And the one that actually gets West out of the conversation a lot is Todd Goldstein, really. If you look at the season he's having at the moment, everyone picks their half-season All-Australian team. I had Nick Nat in mine. And that was just based on, you know, he beat Max Gorn in round one. He beat Brody Grundy when they played Collingwood. And, you know, we all saw the set plays that they worked against Geelong that got him up over the line. To me, he's the one that exerts real influence on the contest. They're very hard to compare, though, because they're so different, aren't they? All of them, you know, like Gorn has the ability to be the artist at the taps like Natanui has, but also does a bit around the ground. Goldstein's a very well-rounded ruckman. Grundy's very good around the ground. They're all a little bit different. They're all very, very good players. And I guess it all comes down to opinion, but I suspect West Coast is very glad to have Nick Nat.
Yeah, I reckon they are. And as you mentioned, it depends on what you put your priority on. Mark's taken around the ground, how often you push forward and kick goals. It's a good argument, though. Mark, great to have you on the phone. We'll talk to you soon.
Good on you, Dwayne. Thanks.
Mark Duffield, Chief AFL Reporter for the West Australian. Mark in Bentley, welcome to you, Mark. Thanks for holding for a while.
No worries, mate. That was an interesting chat. I'm a bit of a data person, and so I'm going to make this comment without getting the data. But just from an observational point of view, Dwayne, I'm just interested in your thoughts on the way teams are playing the game in respect to the coaches they've got. And what I mean there is if you look at the Richmonds, the Geelongs, the Sydneys, really hard to score against, highly defensively oriented. The teams with the newer coaches, Teague, Ratton, Stewie Dew, even Chris Fagan, though he's not an old coach, he's a new coach, they seem to be playing a more attacking style of football. And do you buy into that? Can you see there might be something in that? I just seem to think that these new wave of coaches are opening up the game a bit more.
Yeah, maybe. Although, in some ways, maybe Damien Harbick and Nathan Buckley have established that style over the last 2 or 3 years with their players. So they can't dump it now and try something new. Whereas the new coaches come in and they can do something new. So can a Damien Harbick say to the boys at the start of this season, hey, we're changing everything? Or Nathan Buckley say, look, we're going to get rid of this 18-man zone. We're doing something different now?
No, but No, I agree with that. But do you think that, you know, there's always trends in football. At least is this new wave of coaches, are they now starting something which, it all depends on success.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if Brisbane go on or one of the new clubs go on, are they starting something, moving away from the more defensively orientated mindset?
Well, Damien Harvey doesn't have to change anything. He's won two flags doing it, so there's no need for him to change. Whether the other older coaches change, good point.